difficult job to do. I can't imagine how you do it. But remember when you go home tonight that there are a lot of people listening to this show right now, and I know we feel the same way, that admire and respect what you do.
Highly appreciate it.
As American heroes in your own way, you did something for those families.
The only hero you had up here was Staff Sergeant Chris. And
Sergeant Brayman.
And yes. These guys from the Pentagon that were here, that were the first responders that were, you know, here, that did an outstanding job and got things coordinated so we could come in and just assist them and get the...
Those are the real heroes.
These guys are the real heroes right here.
That's what I'm talking about. You got the Pentagon military police. Guys saying we couldn't do it without the cops. Exactly. Cops saying we couldn't do it without without the DPS guys.
Well, Bernie Richardson and Paul Hustler, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling your story. We just want to say thank you, and God bless America, you guys.
God bless America.
And thank you for being on the show.
And under the circumstances, this was really cool.
Oh, thank you, guys. Right, pleasure seeing both of you guys.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Lisa, why don't we get some of our DPS guys up here? You know, this is going to be a nice time to bring some of these guys on. I want to tell you about the DPS. Where's Art? Can we start with Art?
Art Rosati?
Art Rosati? Hey, Art, you want to come on the show first? Bring Art over here.
We bumped into Art a little while ago. He was doing his job. He had his dog. What's your dog's name, Art?
Raker.
Raker. Now, all right.
Now, Art is one of the guys who works for the DPS, and they are the police department here at the Pentagon. And I said this before, I'm going to repeat it again with all of you guys around, that all of the departments worked together on the 11th and continue to work together. But there's a certain amount of pride that goes with being the first unit to arrive, the first unit to put your balls on the line, first unit to run in and save people. And that unit was the DPS. And for that, we thank all of you guys.
Thank you.
In your group, that you have not been singled out with all of the press that's gone on. Somehow you guys have gotten lost in the shuffle.
We got lost in the shuffle. We were totally overlooked.
And you're not looking. And here's the thing. Not one of these guys has come up to us and said, please mention this.
No way.
It's been other people.
These are the stories we heard when we came down here and started, to arrange the broadcast.
Like the D.C. cops that were just on.
Absolutely.
It's guys like that who have said, you know who are the real heroes here? Are the first guys that were on the scene, the DPS guys that nobody talks about.
Absolutely.
And we are thrilled to be able to say, you guys are the heroes. You were the first ones here. You reacted. You set things up. You set the tone for getting business done. And for that, we say thank you.
Thank you.
And what was it like being the absolute first team to arrive on the 11th?
Okay, if I can preface the my interview first. First, I'd like to dedicate this program to Mr. Officer Benjamin Abraham. He was a federal police officer here since 1987, 32 years of service. He passed away on September 6th with complications from 9/11. This is an exclusive that has been brought to my attention.
This is just a week ago.
Just a week ago.
A week ago. Yeah. Still people that are affected by the injuries that he suffered. Were they burn injuries that
he was sitting in the Joint Chiefs of Staff area, which is a secured location
right. Inside
the Pentagon.
Uh-huh.
These guys were ordered to leave.
Okay.
They said no. We didn't have any breathing apparatus. We didn't have any gas masks. We didn't even have surgical masks. Those guys stayed there and held their post because that is a secured location where Mr. Rumsfeld goes in, or any Secretary of Defense, and all the Joint Chiefs of Staff go in to have their meetings.
You know what, that's another guy that we're hearing. We heard it from an Army guy as well who broke an order because he, in his heart, in his soul, thought, I can't follow the order.
Sergeant Brayman had mentioned chemical pneumonia, where breathing the fumes that were so toxic that day, so many people suffered major injuries because of that.
Correct. And Officer Abraham, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir.
Go ahead.
Officer Abraham was one of them that suffered severe lung damage from this. The Fraternal Order of Police, where I wear a union hat here also as a union shop steward, we're going to do what we can. But tomorrow is Officer Abraham's day. Tomorrow is his funeral, and we're going to try to give him full honors. And we're going to do what we can to help the family financially.
Well, let's get that word out. And anything we can do on this show to help. I mean, from what you're telling me, this guy's down there with Rumsfeld and everybody else. And he gets the word.
Yes, sir.
You got to get out of here. And yes, he says, I'm not leaving my post.
None of them left.
I'm not leaving.
And then he breathes in.
He breathes in all this stuff, just like Sergeant Legacy did, just like I did. And we're all having lung problems right now.
Still having lung problems today.
As a matter of fact, I just had a minor attack just a little bit ago. It feels like there's needles in my lungs. But if your listeners can get a pen and paper, I will give them an address where if they want to send...
I'm going to get mine out right now.
If they can send any financial contribution, I don't care if it's a dollar, we want to help this family out. And I'm asking, please, I know you guys have a wide base of listeners. If they can just send anything that they can to the FOP, Fraternal Order Police, just abbreviate FOP Labor Committee.
Labor Committee.
Labor Committee.
Okay.
Pentagon Police.
Pentagon Police.
You're going to get a few dollars here. I guarantee you that.
I hope so. I hope
you have an address
really
for
do.
That?
9000 Defense Pentagon. I say again, 9000 Defense Pentagon. Washington, D.C. Zip code is 20301-9000.
Now, how old is the officer that we're talking about here?
He was in his late 50s.
In his late 50s.
Yes.
So a relatively young man that stood at his post and suffered the consequences.
Refused to leave.
You know, it doesn't even hit home that a year ago, you know, this tragedy occurred and still the after effects. And you realize the guys that ran into the burning building and stood there aground while this was happening, the poisons that were ingested by you guys going in there without the masks and without that, just another hero. And we hope we can raise some money for
him.
I hope so.
What was it like when you got here, planes of the building, all hell is breaking loose? You're, if not the first guy, one of the first wave that arrives. At what point, who jumps up and does anybody jump up and take control? Does one guy go to one area and say, I'm going to cordon off this area? Or do you just ad lib? Do each of you guys ad lib and somehow turn chaos into order until everybody else arrives? How did that happen? How did that occur?
I guess by the grace of God, chaos was turned into order, just like you said. We had the tactical team responding into one area. Myself, as I said earlier, I wear two hats. I was in a union meeting. I couldn't hear what was happening on the radio because I have a very bad hearing loss from another prison riot that I was involved in. And that's another story later. I asked my colleague, I said, let's go outside. Let's hear what's going on the radio. All I heard was, we've been hit. There's been an explosion. That's all I remember. I ran down to Concourse, which is our little shopping mall. And I started screaming in a very loud military command voice because I have 21 years in the military also. I wear a hat besides here. To lock down, secure, grab your valuables and leave the building now. They thought they just had an idiot running down the hallway screaming this, but once they saw herds of people just starting to leave, I gave them another order to evacuate the building and do it now.
Now, this is without a bullhorn. You're just screaming,
without a bullhorn.
Right? Screaming at people.
I'm screaming at people. I got
right.
A big mouth anyway. And I'm just screaming at these people, and I probably used a few choice words that day. Which was probably out of line.
No, it helped.
As a matter of fact, I know it was out of line.
I'm sure it helped with the immediacy of the situation, though.
They knew I was serious at that time.
Right.
Because I wasn't about to screw around.
You got to jump out there.
Excuse me.
You know, don't worry about it.
Sorry about
that.
Okay.
That's the first no-no that we've gotten on.
You know what? That is emotion, though. Don't worry about it.
No, I think, you know what I think that is? That's 21 years in the military.
Don't worry about it, Art.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Don't worry about it.
Having that 21 years in the military and being part of the DPS, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be even more special today to see this building get built again and just brought back to its original form. It's got to be special.
Oh, it's just amazing. Going back to that day, trying to get out hundreds of people that were running down the hallway. One lady just grabbed her head, screaming, She didn't know what to do. I was frantic. The military came out on me. The buddy system, I grabbed somebody. I said, you're in charge. We'll get her out and do it now and move out.
Right.
And actually running down into the far corridor, since we're sitting at the top, you guys can see way down at the other end over there.
Right.
I ran in down to those hallways over there. That's where I really got hit with the jet fuel and the fumes and everything else. I had a lieutenant colonel from the Army come staggering up the hallway, and I said, sir, are you okay? Yes. We broke down a door, started evacuating more people out of there.
Aren't you, you know, you're saying these things matter-of-factly, but I want to tell you, every time that you just mention something like that, I find a colonel who's staggering down the hall, are you okay? Yes. We break down a door to help more people.
Hey, it's kind of, it's matter-of-factly,
you know,
isn't it?
You're mentioning it matter-of-factly, and I'm hearing it as another heroic moment. Another moment where you have total disregard for your own life and your own well-being, that you are focused with tunnel vision on getting these people out. And
yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I know everybody at the Pentagon thanks you, but it's about time the people heard on our radio show. You got at least 6 million people now who I know are listening, and they are saying thank you, because you're throwing out these things like they're nothing. They're not nothing. It's not nothing to be in a friggin' Pentagon that's on fire, where a plane has just been attacked by terrorists, and you're breaking down doors. That's not nothing.
Well, I have to disagree. I'm sorry. We just try to do our job, and to this day, talking to your other colleagues from the radio station, I have to live with the fact that I wasn't able to go any deeper to try to help more people.
You know, we have heard that from so many people, and I'm going to tell you right now.
Art's going to lose his emotions.
Hold on a second. I want to tell you.
That's amazing.
We've told everybody that every hero that we have talked to today feels the same way, and we know, and it's important for all of you guys to know, really know this. Everybody listening, everybody in the country that knows these stories, we know that you guys did everything that day that you could, and you're still doing it. You're still doing the good work, and the admiration and respect that we have for you is overwhelming. And you guys, it's just, our hearts go out to you because we know you live this.
If what we say means anything to you, let that go. You did more than anybody sitting at this table and anybody listening to the show would do in a lifetime.
Let's go back to the individual that we want to raise the funds for. Art, his name again, the gentleman.
Benjamin Abraham.
Benjamin Abraham, yes, lost his life on September 6th. And if you would like to donate to his family, because they need the help right now.
Right.
It is a check to the FOP Labor Committee, Pentagon Police, 9000 Defense. Is it Defense?
Defense Pentagon.
Defense Pentagon, yes, Washington, D.C., 20301-9000.
I am blown away. I want to tell you, Art is a big man, a menacing man, the kind of guy, the kind of policeman, if for whatever reason, if he came up to you, you go, oh, there's no way I'm getting out of this one. You know, he has...
That's usually the case.
He has that look about him, that intimidating look. But to see you here crying 1 year later...
You didn't have to say that part.
Well, no, but I'm trying to get to the point here.
Right.
You're lamenting a year later lives that you could have saved. When I'm telling you, you know in your heart... You did everything you possibly could, and we as a nation could not be prouder of you. We could not be prouder. Job, well, if I could say the F word, I would say he just said it.
We're going to probably have to hit the delay again.
I would have said job well effing done, but Art said it. Art, that's how much, I know I'm speaking from the gutter. But,
yes, sir.
But that's what it means. Do not ever get down on yourself about what you could have done, because you went in there and you did it.
Mike, it's easier said than done.
I'm Don.
I'm sorry, Don.
Sorry.
I apologize. It's easier said than done, because what I do in the military, with anti-terrorism force protection as a level two guy. Also working physical security, dignitary protection. I stood and I looked at this building and I told my captain a week prior, I said, "Captain, if we're going to get hit, it's going to be on a Monday between 8 and 10. A week later, he looked at me and he said, "You sorry, SOB, you're 24 hours off." And I said, "I'm sorry."
What made you think that, Art? What gave you an inclination that something like this was going to happen?
Once again, I fall back on my military career as a level two anti-terrorism force protection instructor. I travel throughout the United States teaching. Right now, I'm over at Fort Belvoir as the G2, which is intelligence, NCOIC, with the 9th Theater Support Command, excuse me. And just the way the physical security was laid out over here, I just said we're weak.
Yeah, we were a soft target.
We're a very soft target.
Right.
And because of the last 8 years of a dark administration, our military went down, our defenses went down, the CIA, their budget was cut. And now, thank God that we have a man of George W. Bush in office, and you're darn right I'm a Republican, and I'm damn proud of it, that we're going to go ahead and keep this man in office hopefully for another 4 years to keep this stuff straightened out.
Well, now you're crossing the line. Now you listen. I mean, I agree. We support our president.
Absolutely.
But today, let's just be Americans. Let's not be Republicans. Let's not be Democrats. Let's not be, in the case of Rob Spiewak, atheists. Let's just... Oh, that's Buzz. I'm sorry.
That's Buzz, Don.
Let's just be Americans. But know this, Art. We are damn proud of you.
Thank you.
And we thank you for being the first line of defense when we were attacked.
Officer Art Rosati, thanks for coming on the show.
Right, thanks
for everything you did.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
We appreciate
it.
Thank you for coming out.
And Mike, would you hype that, plug the site again for money?
Yeah, this is for the family of Officer Benjamin Abraham, who lost his life. And it's important to point out that even almost a year after the tragedy, that the after effects of inhalation of the poisons that were caused with the tragedy here at the Pentagon, that this man lost his life because of that, because he stood at his post, he stayed his ground. This is for the family of...
Refused to move.
He didn't move. The family of Officer Benjamin Abraham, if you'd like to make a donation, you can send that to the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police Labor Committee, Pentagon Police, 9000 Defense Pentagon, Washington, D.C., 20301-9000. And that money will go to help the family of a fallen officer and another life that was lost because of this tragedy.
Everybody listening now would send $1.
Right.
That's $6 million.
Be pretty nice.
That's $6 million.
And what better family to set up for life than that officer's? And once again, these guys, two things here, thanking the other departments and saying, "I could have done more.
I could have done more."
And that's when these guys break down.
Well, that's
amazing. They could have done more, and I think that's what they all feel. And that's also why these are the guys you want in this position, because they're going to do as much as they can, and they will never feel that it's enough. And that
We have not had one person today come up here and just bask in the accolades and say thank you. They are all... they've had a good sense of humor.
Yeah, and what a pleasure it is, though, to give these guys the credit they deserve.
But they're all humble as can be, mm-hmm. and, you know, they don't want to be called heroes.
No, they don't.
But damn it, they are heroes. They are heroes. We have on the phone... Hey, Don, get back up here for a second.
Don, we got somebody you might want to talk to here.
Don Behe. We had him on before, you know...
strap on the headphones, Don.
American badass.
Get real close to that microphone.
Now, I want you to listen to this on the phone.
We've got Don Behe here right now. We've got somebody on the phone that wants to say hi to Don.
On the phone, we have the wife. Her name is Karen. Karen Milton. The wife of a man whose life you saved.
Karen, can you tell us your story?
On September 11th.
Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you tell us your story?
First, I have to ask you to do me a big favor.
Okay.
We were down at the ceremony this morning and unable to get up with Don. So what I need you to do is lean over and give him a big hug for me.
We will. We will, absolutely. Don doesn't look like the kind of guy that wants a hug from me. But
he's a badass, right?
I'm squeezing his shoulder, so I'm giving him a pat on the shoulder right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was actually at work that morning, which is right up the street from the Pentagon. the state police office, and my husband Mike was down at the Pentagon, which I didn't know. He had responded down there, and I later found out that he was inside with one of our other troopers, and eventually they got separated. And Mike managed to pair up with Don inside the Pentagon, and they were searching a couple floors. And as they got up, I believe it was to the fourth floor, Don realized that Mike was in trouble. They ran into some other firefighters and were told to leave. And from what I understand, Don had helped Mike down the four floors of the building and out of the Pentagon and basically saved his life, got him down on the ground, and I believe he took his weapon and started to render aid to him. And had it not been for him, I wouldn't have Mike here with me. And I just want to say thank you to Don. I've seen him since a year ago. I've been in touch with him, but it was just 1 year ago today that all of this happened. And I just want to thank Don and everyone down there, all the Pentagon police and everyone, military, civilians, firefighters, everyone did a great job that day, and it's hard to thank everyone that was involved. I especially want to thank Don for what he did.
Karen, you just did yourself proud. I know Don appreciates that, and I know that was tough to get through that whole story of what happened that day.
It was very hard. Hard to go back
Don,
there.
You should be proud. I mean, I know you are. You are. Yeah, you're a humble man. You're sitting there not saying a thing, but you did it.
My heart goes out to both of them. Mike.
No, thank you.
Brother. Mike is a brother of mine in law enforcement. And if there's anything I could ever do for them at any time.
Hey, you done it, my friend. Are you kidding? You saved the guy's life.
After that, thank you so much for calling with that story,
thank you, Karen.
That's terrific, and God bless you.
You guys.
And give our best to your husband, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks again for coming on, Don.
Thank you.
Not a lot of words, when you have that. I mean, what can he say, really?
Mike, how wacky. I mean, the guy's names were Don and Mike.
Hey! Did he get that one? Yeah, and he's unmoved. He's unmoved by that one, you know? Yeah. Don and Mike.
Gotcha. Sure.
Yeah.
Don saved Mike.
Boy, I'd hate to be in a bar fight right now. These are tough boys, there's no doubt about it.
Don B., he is one badass.
He is indeed, and that was great. I'm so glad Karen got a chance to listen today and was able to call in with that personal thank you for Don B. He
wanted. Now, Don, I know you're putting on your tough front, but I know underneath, in the chewy center, down there in the middle of the Tootsie Roll Pop, that is you. You are happy. You are happy. Go ahead and smile, you son of a bitch.
You're happy. No, I'm getting married in 10 days.
Oh, he's getting married in 10 days, so he's very, very happy. All right.
He's a cookie dough boy, by the way.
Cookie dough boy. Fantastic.
Listen, we are not done at the Pentagon. We are going to be talking to more folks. We've got just about an hour left. Let's do our top of the hour right now for stations to identify themselves.
The Don and Mike Show. The A's play here. Sports 1140 KHDK Sacramento. An Infinity Broadcasting Station.
We could not be prouder than to be at the Pentagon on 1 year later, Wednesday, September 11th, 2002. Don and Mike Show from our flagship WJFK FM Washington. Today's simulcast on sister station WARW Arrow 94.7. We're going to get Bill Lagasse in here in a second. He's the man that got us down to the Pentagon today. But before we do that, let's go live to Buzz for an update on the day's events. Buzz.
From a secure, undisclosed location. Thanks, Don and Mike. Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge has spent much of the September 11th anniversary monitoring potential threats against Americans. That's after issuing a Code Orange alert yesterday indicating a high risk of terrorist attacks. Sources say the alert was based on information from a senior al-Qaeda figure captured in Asia. Now, among the developments being watched today is a ship off New Jersey that was ordered back to sea after radioactivity was detected in its cargo. Overseas envelopes containing suspicious powders were delivered to U.S. diplomatic missions in Germany, Denmark, and Italy. A Northwest Airlines jet was diverted to Arkansas after four passengers were said to be behaving strangely on the flight. And an American Airlines jet returned to Houston after reports of a disturbance on board there. President Bush is traveling under extraordinarily tight security as he visits the sites of last year's attacks. Vice President Cheney has been taken to that secret location. Defense officials say round-the-clock air patrols have resumed over Washington and New York and have begun in 10 other cities. Fighter jets are on alert elsewhere, and missile launchers deployed around Washington have been armed with surface-to-air missiles. Police in Columbus, Ohio say a man they have in custody had told a worker in a state office building he was there to install a bomb. The office building was evacuated after two dogs detected the scent of explosives in a van parked outside. No explosives have been found yet. Police say the scent was picked up three times by one dog and once by the other. They say the man who's in custody made the comment about the bomb after a worker had asked him what he was doing. The employee thought the man looked out of place. Authorities have not yet said who the man is. About 4,000 state employees work in that building. It houses the Ohio Supreme Court, as well as the Attorney General's office and other state agencies. The FBI says its investigation of an anthrax-tainted Florida office building could yet yield valuable clues in last fall's anthrax attacks. The agency says it's taken nearly 5,000 evidence samples in the former offices of the National Enquirer. Agents say the investigation is the largest hazardous evidence collection effort ever. An FBI spokeswoman wouldn't say if investigators found the letter that delivered spores that killed one man and sickened another worker. Officials hope their search will revive the stalled anthrax investigation. FBI officials searched the three-story building for 12 days, finishing their search just yesterday. City and company officials say they hope to clean up the building and reopen it. President Bush plans to tell the United Nations tomorrow that Saddam Hussein is thumbing his nose at the world's body and must be dealt with. A senior U.S. official says Bush will remind the U.N. that Iraq has been defying its resolutions for 11 years now. And he'll ask the Security Council to tell Saddam that he must admit weapons inspectors now or face serious consequences. The threat of action could come in a British resolution that would be subject to a veto by Russia, China, or France. France wants to give Iraq a three-week deadline to admit inspectors. If it refuses, the Security Council would then consider what action to take. Israel's foreign minister says Bush has told him he will do what he must, even if he has to do it alone. But Shimon Peres says he assured Bush that if he acts, he won't act alone. Congress will hold public hearings next week on intelligence findings leading up to the terror attack. The first witnesses will be the widow of a man who died in the Twin Towers and the widower of a woman aboard the plane that plowed into the Pentagon. Victims' relatives have been pushing lawmakers for permission to appear before any public proceedings. Intelligence agencies have opposed the idea, saying emotional appeals will not help root out problems in the structure, management, and funding of counterterrorism efforts. And the House and Senate intelligence committees have been meeting behind closed doors since June. The public hearings have been repeatedly postponed. President Bush is in New York to lay a wreath at Ground Zero and then address the nation from Ellis Island. Earlier today, Bush paid tribute to 9/11 victims at the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. Bush bowed his head as trumpeters played taps in the Pennsylvania field where Flight 93 crashed a year ago. The president and first lady carried a wreath through the tall grass to the approximate spot where the plane came to rest. Four F-16 fighter jets roared over the Pentagon as family members and co-workers gathered to remember the 184 killed there a year ago. Bush told attendees that though their loved ones died in tragedy, they did not die in vain. This morning, friends and relatives of those who died at the World Trade Center site gathered as the names of more than 2,800 victims were read at a ceremony marking that anniversary.
It came right down 395, right over Columbia Pike, and as it went by the Sheraton Hotel, the pilot added power to the engines. I heard it spool up a little more, and then I lost it behind a building.
Survivors of last year's Pentagon attack are among those who gathered at the site today to hear President Bush and other leaders commemorate the event.
The terrorists wanted September 11th to be a day when innocents die. Instead, it was a day when heroes were born.
That's Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. One woman who was badly burned and lost fingers says she's glad she changed her mind and attended. Letitia Hook says she met a military captain today who helped carry her on a stretcher from the building. Now she says she has some closure because she knows the full story of what happened to her today. Many attendees wiped away tears as jets took off from Reagan National Airport. Pentagon worker Mark Felipe says the takeoffs still make him nervous. Outside the Pentagon, people remembered. In neighboring Arlington County, hundreds of people gathered to unfurl two giant American flags at Gateway Park near the Key Bridge. There was a moment of silence, followed by 184 bell chimes. There are, of course, remembrances across the country today. Here in D.C., one such event includes a candlelight vigil from 7 to 9 this evening on the Capitol Mall. The American Red Cross is offering a shoulder to cry on today. Several chapters are opening comfort stations with food, tissues, and grief counselors. The Philadelphia chapter is running a mental health hotline through Thursday. In New York, the Red Cross is mobilizing more than 700 volunteers to set up comfort stations. They'll be staffed by counselors stocked with food, 75,000 bottles of water, and 50,000 packets of tissues. It is a place to revisit the images and a place to share grief. America's major and cable TV networks have all been offering a similar mix today. Coverage of memorial services, somber interviews with victims, relatives, and recaps of what happened on that day 1 year ago. TV executives have been unsure about how much Americans will be able to watch, and the commercials have been notably absent. First Lady Laura Bush advised parents to turn off the TV and read to their children instead, or light a memorial candle. The images of the planes piercing the World Trade Center, the flames, the towers crumbling into dust, have been shown several times, and they've disappeared from the screen for much of the past year. Other images include photos of many of the lost on CBS, and the names of the 2,801 people killed flashed on a black background on the A&E network as well. One other news note this evening, Hall of Fame quarterback Johnny Unitas of the Baltimore Colts has died of a heart attack, according to a Baltimore Ravens spokesman. A final thought, I'll never forget standing next to the people who lived in New York all their lives as they watched the World Trade Center towers tumble to the ground. I'll never forget the tears on their faces or how they felt that a part of them had died. I'll never forget the heroism and dedication that I saw. And I'll also never forget how the people of New York are like people everywhere. I'll never forget how they bounced back and expressed their resolve, the same resolve all of us have felt about the war on terrorism. Like the rest of us, they pulled together and put up flags. Like the rest of us, they sucked up the strength to go on. I'll have more later as information becomes available. Now, live from the Pentagon, back to Don and Mike. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. By the National Korean United Methodist Church in Rockville, featuring choral music and a Korean choral group from Italy at the Jefferson Memorial. In Las Vegas, All Saints Episcopal Church on West Washington Avenue will hold a prayer vigil Wednesday starting at 7 a.m. and running until its service at 7 p.m. All the names of those officially declared dead in New York, Washington, and rural Pennsylvania will be read. Prayers for the victims and their loved ones will be offered hourly. The evening service will feature a memorial candle lighting and performance of new hymns written in response to the 9/11 tragedy. At 7:30 this evening in Washington, the Washington Ethical Society will hold a candlelight ceremony. That's on 16th Street Northwest. That's 7750 16th Street Northwest in Washington. And other events this evening at 7:30 in Annapolis, a free concert hosted by the mayor featuring the Sons of Severn and the Annapolis High School Band. The war on terrorism and the public impact is the subject of a free lecture by a CIA senior intelligence officer at the Calvert Library on Duke Street in Frederick this evening. That's at 7:30 as well. And there'll be an interfaith prayer meeting at the Muslim Community Center on New Hampshire Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland at 8 o'clock this evening. Boy Remembers, Boy Honors will be held at Allen Pond Park. That's at 3300 Northview Drive in Bowie, Maryland at 7:30 this evening. At 7 o'clock, Gaithersburg will sponsor a dedication ceremony for the new Inspiration Park honoring those who died. And that's at Inspiration and Firehouse Lanes. Also at 7 p.m., the Howard County government will sponsor Remember, a free community event featuring the Columbia Pro Chorus. That's at Centennial Park on Route 108 in Ellicott City. At 6:30 this evening, the VFW, Silver Spring Memorial Post, and the American Legion Wheaton Post will sponsor a memorial service with members of families affected by the September 11th attacks. Police and firefighters and local and federal officials. That's at Veterans Park at Fern Street and Reedy Drive in Wheaton, Maryland. Also at 6:30, open prayer and reflection at the Shalom Congregation on Olive Branch Way in Laurel, Maryland. And now, live from the Pentagon, back to Don and Mike. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. We're back for our final hour at the Pentagon. September 11th, 2002, just 1 year later. Don and Mike Show originating from the Pentagon today and brought to you on Westwood One. Our station in D.C., of course, WJFK. Proud to be simulcast on Infinity Sister Station, WARW, the Arrow. And now, the reason we are here today, and I started today's show with an apology that over the last couple of days, I got caught up in Jerry Lewis-itis about we were invited to the Pentagon and other radio stations were inviting themselves and it was our party, and I realized when I arrived here today how wrong I was, that the Pentagon should and was open to every radio station that wanted to broadcast, because this is a great day for America. But the reason that we are here is this guy right here. Bill Lagasse is a sergeant with the DPS, and he called our radio station to request that we come to the Pentagon. And when you called, Bill, what happened?
Well, the first time I called, I spoke to Joe, and he hung up on me. I don't think he believed I was a police officer.
Oh, no.
So
the first time you called down here, you worked down here at the Pentagon, you say it'd be a nice idea for Don and Mike to come down and do the broadcast down here.
Exactly.
And you get the click.
Yeah, what happened? Were actually speaking about it on the radio at the time.
Uh-huh.
So, and I've never called in before. I refuse to call in because I'm afraid I'll get lambasted because I sound like an idiot. So,
not a problem.
Don't worry about it.
So I basically called back, and he hung up, and I called and said, "No, I'm serious. I want them to come to the Pentagon. I'm a police officer there. I can probably make it happen."
Right.
And then he gave me Lisa's number, her direct line, and I left a message, and we went from there.
Well, Bill is the guy that got the ball rolling.
And I have a question for Bill before we get serious here right off the bat. I got to know, are you any relation to Emeril?
When it can give me free food, absolutely.
Are you any relation to Rob Spiewak? You have a gigantic head.
Not near, but we've established that the fact that it's not nearly as big as Rob's.
I think we could be kin.
Could be related.
Could be kin. Yeah.
Well, it's great, as I said, it's an honor for us to be down here and have a chance to talk to so many guys in the Division of Protective Services. We're really the unsung guys you didn't hear about. A lot of stories today, and as one of the Metropolitan Police officers, Bernie, was telling me during the break there, he said, make sure you let everybody know, yes, there were heroes down here, but I want you to know who the guys were that we really had the respect for. And he mentioned Sergeant Brayman when he was in there, and he did so much good work. And then he mentioned, as so many people have today, a lot of your guys from the Division of Protective Services for the Pentagon. And it's really a pleasure to be telling some of these stories today, especially get a call from the wife of that police officer who was helped out by Don.
You know, we were talking with Art Rosati and saying that none of you guys has come to us and said, "Give us some pub."
Not at all.
Give us some mad mentions of the fact that we were first.
All the stories that we've heard have happened since we got down here, and it's amazing. It really
everybody
is.
That we have talked to, from civilians to the military police to the regular Army guys, the sergeants, to the D.C. Metro Police, they all said, to a man and a woman, to the girls we talked to, the part of the story that's not been told is the fact that you guys were here when the plane hit, and that when the S really hit the fan, your group responded, and your group was the first. And even if it is a year late, let us say on behalf of America, thank you. This is your recognition. Thank you for doing your job of being our first line of defense.
You know, I came down here, Bill, and I didn't even know that the Pentagon had its own protective service. I didn't know. You know, you hear about the Park Police, you hear about the Secret Service, you hear about the Metropolitan Police. You know, you always talk about, well, there are so many different law enforcement divisions around this city. I was completely unknowing of the fact that the Pentagon has its own police force and that you guys were really on the point that day.
Well, I think the biggest problem is a lot of us are inside the building. 30,000 people come in that building every day. 24,000 are permanent. We've got posts everywhere inside the building. It's gigantic. 5 times the size of the Capitol. And we've got a relatively small force that we use to protect it. And I guess it's hard to get recognition when